We are live.
Hello, how's
everybody doing today?
How's it going?
I'm having a fantastic day, and we are back with another movie review.
Another movie review.
When we started this venture, we were talking about, you know, let's just review bad movies.
But that almost immediately
started taking a toll on my soul.
Oh, that got old real quick. I'm not going to lie to you.
I love movies.
Right.
We both do. That's kind of one of the things that brought us together as friends when we found out that the other one was dating their wife's good friend.
Right, exactly.
Right. Our wives have been friends for a long, long time. They even worked together for a period of time before we married our respective significant others.
Our beautiful, beautiful wives. Yes.
And we found out that, you know, we had a similar taste in movies.
Yes. I would say it was like
we bonded over.
I was gonna say it was like a bad Friends episode. Where, you know, they bring their, you know, significance
together. Married already.
Right.
And my wife was like, hey, we should hang out with Shayla and her new boyfriend. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Are you really?
Like, come on.
Are we doing this?
Really?
We're doing this. Okay. And, we somewhat lost touch over time because life happens.
Life.
But I mean, we've been friends for what, 16 years.
Yeah, very much.
Right in that ballpark.
Right. You were at my wedding.
I was.
I wasn't at yours.
You weren't at
mine.
I'm offended.
That was BW.
I'm offended that your wife didn't make choices better.
Listen, I can't knock her choices.
Before you.
Okay.
I'm offended that she didn't make choices that were better than you earlier than she did.
Right. BT, before Tucker. Right.
That's me looking at you, Tucker's wife.
Yes. Hello, my beautiful wife. Yes.
But we have similar tastes in movies. Although we even have, to an extent, a similar taste in music.
Yes.
As far back as that goes. I'm an old punk rocker, and I can't let that go. I think one of the things that made me go, you know what? I do think that I can be really good friends with this guy.
Right.
Was when you had some Bouncing Souls played at your wedding reception.
Yes.
And
You're welcome. That was just for you.
I was like, you know, this guy, I already thought you were pretty cool.
Right.
But I was like, he's cooler than I thought he was.
Anybody that drops Bouncing Souls at their wedding.
At the wedding, I couldn't get away with it. So, and you did. So I was like, dude, this guy, we're going to be friends for a long time.
Yeah. For life. Yes.
Friends for life. BFFs, as they say.
Yes.
As the kids say these days.
Yeah. As all the hip kids say.
Yeah.
So, yes, we started on this journey of watching bad movies,
and quickly I was like, I don't just want to watch bad movies.
Right,
I want to watch good movies too.
Because it got to a point where I was like, I don't feel like watching movies.
Yeah, I was and this is a particular time of year. It's award season,
right?
This is the very beginning of award season, so there's less bad movies unless you want to watch a holiday theme movie.
Right, exactly, and it's getting
and
back
the bar
into
in
it.
My mind is set so high with holiday themed movies. There's like five that are any good, and the rest of them are complete garbage. Maybe seven. Either way.
Fair enough.
Coming soon.
Yeah.
First week in December, I think we'll do a
holiday special.
Tucker and the Beard.
I love it.
Holiday special.
Sounds good to me.
A very Tucker and the Beard holiday season.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm glad that we're kind of transitioning into just going and seeing movies in general. They might be good. They might be bad. You know, because every now and then, I think a movie that we know is both going to be bad comes out, and I go, listen, it's bad, but I still kind of want to see it.
Right. No, I think one of my personal favorite things in regards to movies is watching a movie that you think is going to be complete garbage and being pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
That is one
because
of the
it's
best
even
things
better.
Ever. Right. Yeah. That is one of the best things ever where you kind of leave and you're on, hey, you know what?
That didn't suck at all.
Not at all. But what did we see this week?
Before we get too far into it, what did we see this week?
We went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody, which is the story of Queen.
Yes.
And wow.
I'm a
Right.
I've been a fan.
Yes.
Most of my life.
Now, I'd said this to you yesterday as we were sitting down to, you know, go on this adventure together, that I am a fan.
You enjoy the music.
Yes, I enjoy the music.
As most people do.
I think I told you from a scale of, you know, 1 to 10, with 1 being not a fan, to 10 being like, oh my God, Queen.
Yeah,
you know,
I can listen to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're more of like, if it's on, I'm not changing the station.
Right.
I'm kind of a fan.
I know their jams.
Yeah.
You know
the big hits.
I enjoy it.
Probably not super familiar with the deep cuts.
Right. I can now say that that has changed.
Dude, I will say this right now. I listen to one or two things, and that's either audiobooks or podcasts,
mm-hmm.
which, by the way, on Saturdays, you can find our podcast
like
on Apple, iTunes.
If you want some nostalgic feeling, like Saturday morning cartoons,
yeah.
like a kid.
Or you can find them on the PrescottEnews.com website. Boom. But that's usually what I listen to.
Right.
I'm a businessman, and I like to listen to things that just help me expand my mind. But since we left the theater yesterday, there has been nothing but Queen on, and obnoxiously loud. If you've sat in your car next to me over the last 24 hours, you're welcome, because you got to hear some Queen blasting out of my stereo.
I will say, I left the movie theater yesterday, and my radio was on in my Jeep, and I quickly turned it off.
Okay.
I turned it up. I was like, okay, you know what? After leaving that, no offense to Lady Gaga. But in comparison to what I had just listened to.
Garbage.
And I quickly turned it off.
Flaming hot garbage in comparison. Yes. Again, I've been a huge fan of Queen.
Right.
I wouldn't classify myself, I'll just preface this, as like a super fan.
Right.
But I have always had such tremendous respect for Queen as a group and how they just did things that were unconventional.
Right.
I'm a bit of a nerd when it comes to sound engineering and things like that.
Audio tricks.
And some of the things that Queen did in the studio,
which they did go over in the
movie. And they highlighted this in the film, but some of the things that Queen did in the studio were just crazy.
Right. Didn't make any sense.
No.
Right.
But when it finished up, it was brilliant. Yeah. In fact, companies, you know, digital audio companies have tried and by and large failed miserably at trying to recreate some of those effects.
Right.
One of the things they did that they didn't show in the movie was, in order to get a certain effect, so they would have the band record a vocal track,
mm-hmm.
and then play it back through a speaker that's set in a coffee can with a microphone positioned above the coffee can to get the exact right effect.
See,
you know, and it showed so many crazy things. They would put, you know, coins on the drums, and they would throw things around the studio,
right.
just to get these effects that simply cannot be recreated in a digital format. They can't. You can try real hard and get real close, but you can't catch that lightning in a bottle.
Right. Oh, they did highlight some of the stuff that you're just kind of like, that's insane. And that they just were kind of allowed to be crazy with it and thinking that they were going to fail at it.
Yeah.
And did quite the opposite.
Now, when I first saw the trailers for this, and I was going to go see this movie either way.
Right.
Let's be just real clear with that. When I first saw the trailer, I thought, oh, this is going to be a Freddie Mercury biopic.
Right.
And I was okay with that.
Right.
But that's not what this was.
Yeah.
This was truly a Queen biopic.
And it was like at the end of it, you realize what a tribute to Queen it is.
Oh, absolutely.
Just hands down how they, you know, needed each other and that it was about Queen.
They were what might be one of the last truly great bands of all time. And it's and what I mean by that is not that there haven't been great bands since that have made tremendous music.
Right.
But the way that they actually considered each other family, I don't know that it's been recreated since.
Right.
How they actually viewed each other on a personal level. Did the movie take some artistic liberties with some things? Yes.
Right.
And only a certain number, you know, a certain level of fandom is going to know.
Right.
What those, you know, in some, they're big details.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I get that they were trying to make a movie about this.
Right. And they have to kind of highlight, you know, some things or make it more, you know, artistic vision of it than,
yeah.
You know,
they had to alter some timelines to make some things more dramatic. You know, the biggest of which I will say is, I think we all should know at this point that Freddie Mercury died of AIDS in 1991.
Right. I don't know how to break this to you.
If you didn't know.
I'm sorry.
Now you know. But Freddie Mercury died of AIDS in 1991.
Right.
But he was diagnosed almost 2 years after Queen's epic performance at Live Aid.
Which?
In 1987, he was diagnosed with AIDS, and he died about five, four-ish years later. The movie kind of puts that in a different timeline. And again, it's to add some drama. It's to add some effect. I get why they did it that way.
Right.
And there's a couple, again, some things that they took some liberties with as far as the timeline is concerned. Freddie Mercury and Queen never really broke up, as the film would depict.
Betray.
They spent some time apart, but everyone was on board with that.
Right.
And they stayed amicable and communicated through the entire process. And
by the movie, it made it
seem a little bit more dramatic, you know, and I get why they did it. Most of everything else was pretty spot on.
I was going to say, it was more like the Justin Timberlake story in that sense, where it was like him breaking up NSYNC because he went solo.
Yeah. You know, they introduced a Yoko Ono type character in the film, and it wasn't quite that way. Queen never truly broke up. Yes,
right.
Freddie did record some solo albums, but so did Roger Taylor, their drummer.
Right.
Brian May, their guitar player, featured on several albums, and
he did
his own thing. Almost everyone in the band did their own thing, and that's one of the cool things that I think about Queen is that they all collaborated heavily.
They were all awesome in their own right, and then I would say, and just kind of, you know, going into it, I left that going, oh my god, I forgot that was Queen song. Oh my gosh, I forgot that was Queen's song too. And kind of going, how many hits that they actually brought to the table?
So many. And for me, this is exactly what I told my wife when I got home. I'm not usually a huge proponent of seeing a film in the theaters more than once. Mm-hmm. That's just not usually
I would go back.
I told my wife, I was like, we are going to see this movie. Again, you and me, because if you've never had goosebumps for nearly 2.5 straight hours,
constant,
this movie will give that to you. And for me, it was the very moment that I heard, Brian May's signature guitar tone. And for the music geeks in the audience, you'll understand that,
right?
That he had a very, very
distinct, right?
If you hear that sound, you know that it's Brian May,
right?
Okay. From the moment I heard, and this was in the band that he was in before he met up with Freddie Mercury,
right?
But he still had that signature guitar tone, and so from the very moment I heard that, the goosebumps were nearly nonstop,
right?
It was a beautiful movie.
Oh yeah, no, it was fantastic. I think one of the cool things, just the beginning of the movie and the end of the movie are at the same exact place.
Yes.
And I kept on thinking about that. That was really cool the way that they did it, because it is at the Live Aid concert.
Yeah. And while I've watched that concert footage before.
Right.
Many times. I watched it again late last night with a completely different appreciation.
I've watched it twice since. I watched it last night and I watched it today. And just kind of going, they nailed it.
Recreated that performance.
Right.
And almost the entire performance was in the movie.
Right.
Did they cut out one song? Maybe down to two? One thing
I noticed, because I noticed it during the performance. The Pepsi cups on
top of
the...
Even the Pepsi cups and the two cups of... The two plastic Pepsi cups of beer that are sitting on top of Freddie's piano...
Are in the same... The
when same. He goes and adjusts the volume level on the piano and the monitors, they recreated this film. Or that that segment in this film so beautifully.
Right. So, yeah, like...
I can say that... and I'm probably going to butcher the name, and I'm sorry, but Rami Malek... I don't know that there's a... So, in case you didn't know, the original bid for Freddie Mercury in this film was Sacha Baron Cohen.
Okay.
Who, don't get me wrong, because he is such a chameleon. I think he could have done very, very
well.
That's
what I was like. I'm not a huge Sacha Baron Cohen fan. But I think,
nor am I.
I think it wouldn't have been a horrible
choice. But
he's
a chameleon. He can, he can do a lot of different things. But, oh my goodness, am I glad... that they replaced him with Rami.
Well,
Rami,
done.
Rami, I don't know.
Next Oscar winner. That's his name.
Yeah. Well, we were walking out of the theater and I said, if this doesn't get nominated for several Oscars, then the Oscars have zero.
Yeah.
They have very little validity to me as it as they sit right now. But if I don't see his name
in the
next
lineup.
To a best actor nomination... I will lose
it's,
the remaining faith that I have in that award.
Then it's rigged because what he brought to this movie.
Tremendous.
Because, I mean, let's be honest. It was a Queen movie, but it did focus a lot on him and his
Well, because without
through,
Freddie Mercury.
Right. They were Smile, which I did not know. That was something
I
learned.
And even so, without Freddie Mercury, they could have been great.
Right.
But they would not have been legends.
No. Oh, hands down.
They could have been great. Brian May, as a guitar player, Brian May is somebody that I've always looked up to. His style of playing, that's my jam. That's
as I was going to say, as not a guitar player, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You know, like just what
Again,
he's able to do.
When you can hear, you know, there's very few guitar players out there where you don't have to know the song. You don't have to know anything about what's playing. But when you hear their guitar play, you know
that's
Brian May.
Right.
Right. You know that that's that person. There's very few. Jimi Hendrix, more recently, somebody like Gary Clark Jr., who's a tremendous blues guitar player. But when you hear their tone, you just go, oh, I know who that is.
Right.
That's that person. And Brian May, for me, was the first guitar player where I could instantly recognize.
Exactly.
I don't need to know that it's a Queen song.
Right.
But I hear that guitar and I know
that
it's a Queen song.
You're just like, wait a minute.
Right. I just know.
Right.
There've been a few guitar players over the course of the years who have tried to emulate that and emulate his playing style. And I appreciate that. One that comes to mind right now is Frankie Aero of My Chemical Romance. Definitely took heavy, heavy influence from Brian May in both his guitar style and the tone that he tried to achieve. And even though he did a pretty good job, it never tricked me.
Well, and
as a fan, it never, you know, I knew, I was like, oh, I see what he's trying to do.
Right. And well, and it's like, and we wrote down the thing, but the actor that played him, Gwendolyn Lee.
Holy cow. One of the best casting options I've seen in years.
I think I told you, I was like, is that his son? Like,
right.
It's spot on.
His nephew something, but. Oh my goodness, did they make that look amazing.
And this was one of those movies, and I mean, Craig, I'm guessing you're going to agree with me on this. Like, you find yourself in.
100%.
Like, you're just, like, there, you're not...
Full disclosure, you know, there was one point in the movie, again, we both work full-time jobs, I had a busy morning, there was one point in the movie where I no longer had an option. I had to visit the little boy's room.
Right.
And I was sad. Right. Because I had to take a break and I didn't want to.
And the point that you left at was when Freddie Mercury comes out.
There was never a good point in this movie now, to take a pee break.
Were they married or just engaged?
It was hard to tell in the movie. Yeah.
I don't know history-wise.
Mary Austin, and this is another thing. There was never really a separation or a between Mary and Freddie.
Right.
They remained friends the entire time.
Right. And they even say that at the end of the movie.
And there's a little bit of what someone might call straight washing in the film. Freddie was pretty always open about his sexuality in that aspect. And I don't think anyone was ever convinced. He had such a distinctive way of moving. One of the things that I loved was how they, you know, especially if you go back and you can find a really good copy on YouTube of their Live Aid performance, which prior to the last time I watched it, which was about a year ago, I watched this one stream of their Live Aid and it had about 150,000 views on it. If you go back and look at it right now, it's got 70 million views on it.
I was going to say,
the way he holds his microphone when he's not playing the piano, where he has essentially a part of the boom microphone stand that he just walks around with.
Right.
I love how they explained how he came up with that, which was one of his first gigs with what was Smile.
Right. At the time, his first performance and it broke.
It just broke. And so he carried it around. Right. Well, he continued that throughout his entire career.
Right.
And I loved how they brought that in there. And I think that they kind of minimized in some ways his relationship with Mary.
Right.
You know, because again, spoiler alert, Freddie Mercury wasn't straight.
Right.
But
I think he had
that marriage and relationship with Mary early on in his career.
Right.
And he never lost 1 ounce of love for that woman.
Right.
Nor did she lose 1 ounce of love for that man.
Right.
Was she probably shocked and a little hurt? Of course.
Right. That it's like, hey.
But, you know, and so I think they kind of downplayed that a little bit.
I think that they handled it really, really well.
But I think they did a good job with handling it. Right. Absolutely.
You know, with him, you know, coming out to her and she was not surprised. She had, you know, that she had known for, you know, a long time and so on and so forth. And right. That it was kind of like, yeah. But I think that's when it came back and I was like, hey, I don't want to ruin anything for you, but he just
Freddie Mercury is gay.
What?
Oh my goodness.
I was like, you know, I just wanted to catch you up.
Yeah. And I appreciate
it. Yeah. Not a problem.
You know, I missed, you know, maybe 3 minutes of the movie because when I did have to leave and it was like, I was like, I can't do this anymore.
You can't hold it anymore.
But when I did have to, I hustled to the bathroom and back because there was just no way. I didn't want to miss a minute of the movie.
Right. But yeah, I mean, so I think the movie, you know, starts out with kind of him being introduced to the, you know, other band members.
Yeah.
Who are in a different band and they just lost their lead singer and,
Another Mercury. Timeline issue with the film is that, you know,
just
he had
enjoyed the movie, man.
I know. And I did.
Stop it.
But he knew those guys prior. It wasn't like he just met them that evening.
Right.
He had known them for about a year and had been pretty good friends with them. He had followed that band for a while. And the lead singer of that band who eventually, you know, again in the movie, moved on to what he deemed to be
a better
pastures.
Right.
You know, he was already in pretty well with those guys.
Right.
But you know, I like the way that he kind of had his 15 second audition and they're just like,
right,
that's it.
Well, one of the things, I mean, honestly, I haven't been able to stop thinking about this movie since, you know, we watched it. And I think one of the coolest things that Freddie Mercury had and Rami Malek, I'm probably slaughtering that. Yeah. It's okay. You know what I'm talking about. The actor that portrayed him brought through was the confidence.
The way that he recreated Freddie's mannerisms.
Right.
Vocally in his speech and just the way that he walked around a room.
Right. And stood and
was
talked. And yeah, it was.
Listen, I wouldn't have. I personally wouldn't have cared if he wasn't portraying Freddie Mercury.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to pay attention to whatever role he was playing because of how well he had mastered that.
And I think, my wife was telling me she had read that he had
who Freddie Mercury was.
Yeah. My wife had told me that he had studied for a year, been like,
he had practiced, watched every second of footage available.
And that's those actors that you're like, okay, dang, you're not just in it. It's like when you're in for the art. Like,
it's like when Johnny Depp locked himself in a hot car for 4 hours when he was filming Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas so that he would look stoned out of his mind.
Right.
You know,
that's one way to do it.
Yeah, that's one way to do it.
There are other ways.
At least you don't have to do heroin to get the job done, right?
Exactly.
No, but there, and but this was not one side.
No.
And that's what made this movie.
Right.
It could have been just Rami,
right,
whatever.
Right.
But and that would have been awesome.
Right.
But it was so much more than that.
Right.
Because literally every character, especially when you focus on the members of the band.
Right. The girl that played Mary Austin, Lucy Boynton?
Yeah.
Boynton. Freaking killed it. You bought
it. She was amazing.
You bought it. Yeah. You're like, that's the love of his life. She's like the sweetest little hometown girl. Like,
yeah.
Like,
and
ever.
She truly was the love of his life.
Right.
Because you before, you know, before meeting her, he didn't know that he was gay.
Right.
And so to him, even after he realized, oh, this is what I am.
Right.
Nobody ever.
Right.
Apexed her.
Right. And it was like that.
It was the love of his life.
Yeah.
Nobody.
You know, and after watching
that's
it, you're
amazing.
Like, you're like, that boy went through some stuff.
He did.
Like, that was
absolutely
a lot of inner turmoil that, you know, he had had.
Yeah.
And, you know, who he was. But,
and, I mean,
so she brought it, but the band was huge. Like, they.
Every major role in this film was played so perfectly.
Nice.
I mean, I know that we're probably just gushing at
right.
this point.
I know. It's like.
But because this movie was so well done.
Oh yeah.
The character, his name's Ben Hardy. He played he played Roger Taylor, their Queen's drummer.
Yeah, he brought a lot of awesome. Like
he
with
was
his,
fantastic.
He ended up getting like married later on when Freddie was going through. He had people really take advantage of him.
He did.
And it was him that was showing their friendship, but he, you know, him getting married later on, and it was.
And he was just trying to deal.
Right.
You know, again in the late 70s. And early 80s, listen, being gay just wasn't as acceptable
right.
as it is in modern times.
Right.
You know, and so he had a really hard time coping with that.
Right.
Side note.
Yeah.
So Ben Hardy.
Right.
You know, just to give it, you know, in case you're watching this from somewhere far, far away, we're in Prescott, Arizona. And Ben Hardy, just to give it a little local flair,
right.
Also portrayed, a boy that I went to school with,
mm-hmm.
Wade Parker in the film Only the Brave, that was, about the 19 firefighters who perished in the Yarnell Hill fire.
Exactly.
So I thought that was very interesting. You know, it was kind of,
a little,
you know,
kind of hits
again,
home.
It was just a little local
right.
trivia, you know, so to speak.
Exactly.
A movie that I still have not been able to bring myself to watch. To this day.
We've talked about this. I can't either. Maybe someday, but I don't.
I haven't been able to bring
know.
Myself to watch it. You know,
I can't.
I went to school with both of his sisters. They were both good friends of mine. You know, I didn't know Wade well. I'm not going to pretend that I did. But, you know, it's still. It was just an interesting side note to that.
Right. Yeah, I was, you know, very close friends with a few of them. And. You know, it's just too close to home. So maybe
for
someday.
Sure.
Maybe
you know,
someday.
And then John Deacon was portrayed by a man named Joseph Mazzello.
Who, I don't know if you know this, Little Timmy. little Timmy from Jurassic Park.
And I think
the dinosaur kid himself
spent a good portion of the movie going, I know this guy from somewhere.
Like, yeah. Brought it. I was, you know, no question of that. But I was like, God, I know him from somewhere.
I know this kid. And
it turned, what did I do this morning? 8 o'clock this morning. Hey, dude, you're not going to believe it.
He calls me this morning. He goes, you're not going to believe what I just found out. And I go,
Little Timmy.
John Deacon.
Little Timmy.
Was Little I'm Timmy. Like, I think we both came to the realization.
If I could have done this. On,
yeah. If, you know, if I could have actually hung up the phone instead of just hitting the button on the screen.
Yeah. But I was like, that's awesome.
Listen, like, it's impossible to give spoilers away on this movie. I think everyone knows how the film ends.
I think that, as not meant to be horrible as it was.
We're sitting there at the end of the movie, and as American film goers have become accustomed to, we think, well, we have to sit through the credits because there's going to be an after credit scene. And he taps me on the shoulder and he goes, what's coming up next? And I go, I don't think they're trying to set up for a sequel, bro. And we both laughed
hysterically
and inappropriately.
Yeah, it's completely right. Because again, spoiler, the end is, you know,
not happy. Freddie Mercury passed away in 1991, and the music world lost one of the greatest talents they've ever known.
And he and I are cry laughing.
We're ugly cry laughing in the theater at the end of this movie that has such. Listen, the recreation that they make of Queen's iconic and epic Live Aid performance.
Which, yeah.
It makes me even feel bad for David Bowie, who followed them up.
Right. Because there was no...
They should have just said, listen.
That's it.
I know we said there was more.
We're going home.
But we can't do anymore. Because that
should have been
just so amazing. And the cinematic work that was done on this film.
I don't even know how
to recreate those moments. Again, I had goosebumps for nearly 2.5 hours.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the first things I said to you. I'm like, how long did you have goosebumps? And it was just
the whole moment after a moment. Freaking time.
Now, I will have to say one of my favorite throwaway lines real quick.
All right.
Is, and I don't know.
When he is presenting Bohemian Rhapsody to the A&R department, was that it? Because that was my favorite line of the entire movie.
Which one? Okay.
So the record executive played by Mike Myers.
Yes. Okay. That is exactly where I'm going with it.
He's talking to the band about the song Bohemian Rhapsody, and he goes, it goes on forever. It's 6 bloody minutes. And Freddie Mercury just at the drop of a hat just goes, if 6 minutes is forever, I pity your wife.
Right.
And I was dying.
No, so not only
that was line, my, f- but no, like my favorite funny line of the movie.
My favorite little throwaway line that you did. It does involve Mike Myers.
Okay.
Okay, so he's...
Who was fantastic in his role,
spot
by
on,
the way.
Spot on.
Fantastic.
Yeah, but...
It wasn't a bad...
Solid. No.
I'll say this. There was not a bad performance among the entire cast.
I can't even... Yeah.
Not one.
I can't even think of them. It, like, the people that took advantage of Freddie, like, I don't like them as people now.
Like, yeah, they if did I that saw good those job, people on the street, like, I'd probably want to punch him in the mouth.
Right. No, the Mike Myers line where he goes, there's not going to be any teenagers headbanging in their car to this song.
And that just brought everything full circle.
And it was
brought
like,
visions to my mind of Mike Myers and Dana Carvey in that stupid Ford Pinto.
Wayne's World.
And he goes,
headbanging.
I think it's time to throw on a little Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
And...
But it was such a great, like, throwaway line.
Which was the introduction for me to Queen.
Right. We're just like, what is this
that
magic?
That was really the first time I heard Queen was in the movie Wayne's World.
Right.
As a young child.
As a young beard.
I was, believe it or not, I was beardless then.
I know. I have photo evidence.
I was also 11. But... That was the first exposure I really had to Queen, and it caused me to delve further. My Aunt Sherry had a Queen CD in her collection, and I borrowed it at one point.
Are you breaking news too?
I am. No, I think I've told my aunt about this. I think I've told my aunt about this so far.
Do you need to take this moment now and just own up to it?
I borrowed a few CDs from her. Listen, if anyone is to blame for my musical taste.
Yes, there's air quotes right now. It's for those who can't see.
Yeah, for those who are just listening, I'm using air quotes on the radio again. But it's my Uncle Chad and my Aunt Sherry. My Aunt Sherry had Queen's Greatest Hits and Bad Religion, Stranger Than Fiction.
There it is.
And Nine Inch Nails Closer.
If you had told me and then name my three uncle, CDs to explain, to explain who you,
why I am the way that I am.
Like if you were like, name three, I'm like, you know what? Here you go. And it
and
would
then,
be like.
And then my Uncle Chad had, it was a compilation album from Fat Records that it was called Survival of the Fattest.
Right.
And it had bands like Propagandhi, NOFX, No Use for a Name.
I've seen a couple of those in concert, so you're welcome.
I've seen all of them in concert.
Okay.
It's an addiction.
All right, you win.
I'm not trying to win. I'm just
if
I'm
it was a competition,
I
you'd borrow, win.
I listened to this music from my aunt and uncle, so it's your fault.
Right.
Chad Nelson, Sherry Crawford.
Yeah.
And I love you for it. Because they introduced me to the Beastie Boys albums that I borrowed from my Aunt Sherry, both Licensed to Ill and Paul's Boutique.
I was
going to
say, right.
Coupled with Stranger Than Fiction, Queen's Greatest Hits, and then this crazy compilation of punk rock music that I had never heard before. And it made a different person. Repeat. It made me a different human being by the end of by the time I listened to all that music. Right. It changed my being. Essence.
Your
it
essence.
Really did.
No, I hear
and
you.
So, you know, to me, it's
and,
just
and
it's
for all
just
those kids
tremendous.
Out there, CDs are compact discs.
Yeah, they're these little plastic and metal discs that you put into a slot and it makes music.
Right, but it's still good. So,
to bring everything into a nice tidy bow, let's give our rating in case you haven't figured it out.
I know
out
if
already.
You want to guess.
Right. So our rating system involves go see it.
Right.
Go rent it.
Right.
Go stream it or skip it. Go see this movie.
Yes.
Twice.
Go see this movie.
Five times if you need to. Go see this movie.
Yes. I will say the bar was not like, I was like, oh, we're going, because we have a history of watching not great movies.
Crap.
So the bar was set very, very low. You know, like I was like, oh, okay. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to be kind of let down by this. Far surpassed, and I was strangely happy that
for me, the bar was super high.
Right.
Again, being a fan.
Right.
A legitimate
and
Queen
it's
fan.
To. Right.
The bar was insanely high.
Yeah.
And yet it surpassed my expectations.
Yeah, I was hoping for the best.
I had tears in my eyes.
Yes.
I had goosebumps the entire time.
Yes.
This movie, go see it.
Yes.
Go see it again and again and again if that's what you need to do, because it's amazing.
Right.
And if you don't see this with nominations for Best Actors, Best Supporting Actors and Actresses,
Actresses
and Best Film, then screw you, Oscars, and, because you don't know what the heck you're talking about.
Yeah, and best
and
that's music.
That's me being family friendly with what I'm trying to say.
Right. And I would say, you know, whatever the category is for music compilation. Oh, like,
yeah. Best soundtrack?
Done.
Done.
Best actor?
It's over.
Done.
Best film?
Done. I don't know who directed this.
Listen, it's the very, very beginning of award season. So let me just put the rest of the directors in Hollywood on notice.
Bring it.
The bar is that freaking high.
Yeah. Because what
if you don't outdo Bohemian Rhapsody?
I'm not
you
even.
You came in second or third place, and hey,
I feel bad. Who's
that's
the,
not bad?
Who I we didn't even know, you know. Whoever it is,
let me.
While I'm sitting here, kind of going off on my own thing, because just for his credit,
right now, who directed?
Because we were looking at the actors.
Freaking masterpiece, Bryan Singer. Actually, there's two different directors. The director credit went to Bryan Singer. He He actually oversaw the filming of about the first 2/3 of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then through some other circumstances, he had to drop out, and they brought in another guy. His name's not in the credits.
Right. That's unfortunate.
So
that's
Bryan unfortunate Singer because... will probably be nominated, and if not win, best actor, or best director for
writer,
this film.
Best writer? Screenplay?
Done. Listen, this film is tremendous.
Right.
Go freaking see it. Stop what you're doing right now. Take time off in the middle of your workday like we did and go see this movie. That's all we've got for today. Yeah. He's Tucker.
He's Beard.
And we will see you next time. Peace.